former Green Bay Packer Leroy Butler knows about bullying. He was bullied as a child, and he is involved in anti-bullying efforts. And since he's been in an NFL locker room or two, we thought he might have something to say about the allegations of bullying in the NFL that have been in the news over the past couple of weeks. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, November 15th. Former Miami Dolphin Jonathan Martin accused his teammate Richie Incognito of bullying. Incognito has been suspended indefinitely for racial slurs and threats of violence. How commonplace is bullying in the NFL? Is this really bullying? We welcome your questions and your reactions to this story at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are very happy to have with us former Green Bay Packer Leroy Butler. Butler is the author of several books. His latest is Packers Pride, Green Bay Greats Share Their Favorite Moments. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us once again. I'm going to lift the veil. I'm going to, in the spirit of full disclosure, mention that my producer, Robin Cherry, is good friends with your representative, Nettie Perry. So thanks to Robin and Nettie for encouraging you to come back on with us today.
And when two young ladies tell you to do something, you don't argue.
Well, we did talk to you once before last summer about bullying. That was when a church withdrew an invitation for you to speak because of some positive comments you had for a NFL player who came out as gay. But you were since invited to speak at a different church, so that all turned out well. But we thought of you when we saw this. This story about bullying in the NFL. What is your reaction to this specific story that Jonathan Martin says he was bullied by Richie Incognito?
I did a piece for NBC about it, and it's be coming out real soon. But I think for the most part, I think it surprised everybody the way that it came out. But the most important thing is, and I was talking to Robin about it off air. About the mental health part of it. If you go back to Richie Incognito, I think he was a leader of that locker room. A lot of leadership wouldn't let a lot of this stuff go on, as would if you go to somebody like Reggie White and say, you know, it's a player in the locker room that's kind of going overboard. You know, Reggie would handle it. It would never get in the media, and it would never get to the coaches. I mean, this is our locker room, so I'm kind of embarrassed that this is even going on. And it just kind of confuses me because it's a lot of players believe what Richie Incognito was doing. They believe in a lot of things he was saying. I mean, the guy even talked about Martin's mom, his sister. I mean, as you mentioned, the racial slurs. I mean, and I think for the most part, it was something that I thought was parallel to this. Because it was reported that the coaches went to Incognito and said, listen, toughen him up a little. And it's kind of what happened in the movie A Few Good Men. I mean, he was told to give the kid who couldn't run as far, couldn't breathe as long, and couldn't swim as far, give him a code red. Well, that guy died in the movie. But I'm not sure what people wanted him to do, you know. So do you keep it inside or do you let somebody know? Because what you don't want is somebody coming back to the locker room with a gun or a knife and try to handle it themselves. So, you know, I was shocked. I really was. I was shocked that this kind of stuff would go on, especially with leaders in your locker room.
I didn't hear that part, that it's rumored or it is a fact that the coach has told Incognito toughen up Martin.
Yeah. I mean, tough. Because, you know, Martin is not one of these guys that chew iron and spit it out into nails. I mean, I think every offensive lineman is supposed to be that way. And I guess Richie Incognito was. That's why they hung out together. But when he comes to me and say, I'm going on a trip to Las Vegas. I need $15,000. I mean, you think there's a crossroads here. Okay, wait a minute. Why would you need my money? You should have your own. No, I need you to give it to me. And I know a lot of people would say, why would a you know, 6-foot-something, 300-pound guy even do that? Because you try to fit in. That's where the bullying comes in, you know, because most kids who try to fit in with older kids, they get bullied because it's a mental health study of, I'm trying to fit in, so I'll do anything to fit in. And you just give them the money so it can stop. And that's when you come to find out as a parent that you come home, your kid is, you're sitting at the dinner table and your young man or young lady is not eating and you want to find out why. You know, well, at school it's a problem. And some kids say, you know, I don't even want to go to school anymore. I just want to do homeschool because I'm sick of people just bothering me. I mean, this story is parallel to that. So, again, I was just shocked that, you know, there was no leaders on this team. And people are now telling me that he was the leader in the clubhouse and he would hold meetings. And the strip club, if you didn't come to the strip club, he would fine you money. Now, there's where it's a problem, because if he's fining guys money, then I think that the people upstairs had to know about it.
Yeah, and gosh, this almost sounds like extortion. I mean, asking.
Oh, it's borderline, a lot of that. And that's why I say the mental health of it is, you know. But, you know, here's the thing about it, real quick. The good thing about it is it was put out there for everybody to know. And the Dolphins, once they found out about it, they suspended him. But the problem is what I talked about earlier, it's 50% of people in that locker room still, and they know all the facts, still believe in what Rich Incognito did.
Yeah, they're siding with him more than they are with Martin. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's people side with power than weakness. I mean, think about it. Everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to be powerful. No one wants to be looked at as weak, as inferior. And that's what, when I told my story, I was disabled. The kids looked at me as a target. They'd laugh at me all the time, but I didn't care because I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. But everybody wasn't as strong as me to ignore a lot of the foolishness. But it's hard to ignore when you come into that locker room. You have to go in that leader in that meeting room with those 8 or 9 linemen, and they're all are making fun of you. They're all asking you for money, and they're all doing all these negative things. So, you know, it's just very unfortunate. But I'm gonna tell you, when the investigator meet with Martin, which as they're supposed to do today, I think a lot of the things that come out, but you'll find out that Martin also went and did some things that retaliated to Incognito that was not real bright. But you know, they're gonna put all that on the table and find out what happened.
Oh, I didn't hear that either. So he did a little bit of retaliation. Here's what Incognito said in an interview he did last weekend. He was asked, "What would you say to Jonathan Martin if he was sitting right here next to you?" And Incognito said, "I think, honestly, I would give him a big hug right now because we've been through so much, and I'd just be like, dude, what's going on? Why didn't you come to me?" If he were to say, "Listen, you took it way too far, you hurt me," you know, I would just apologize and explain to him exactly what I explained to you. And I'd apologize to his family. He never meant it to be malicious. And he says if Martin would have come and said, "Knock it off," he would have. What's your reaction to that?
Well, some of that I believe and some of it I don't. I think we're old enough to know, and we play a barbaric sport anyway. And it feels good to be, to some guy, to be looked upon as powerful. And you should know as a parent, as a young man, to know when you go too far. As soon as you text message or leave him a racial slur, that's too far. I mean, that's when you cross the line. And I'm really surprised that they didn't get into a fight. I'm surprised that, again, that the other players on the team would even agree with that. And I think it's somewhat of a coward to the coaches to say, "Do my job. It's up to my coach to toughen me up." I mean, that's part of your job. If you want another guy to do it, because you don't want to get your hands dirty. It's just weird to me that I don't think he would hug him. He was necessarily, you know what he really probably would say?
Right.
"Dude, that next time, let's not let this get out in the public. Let's just keep this behind closed doors, but I still want you to do for me what I want you to do, but don't say nothing about it." So there's another threat. That's what I believe would happen.
We are talking with former Green Bay Packer Leroy Butler, talking about this story about bullying in the NFL involving Miami Dolphin Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. And we're talking about this particular case of bullying, but also how widespread is this? Is it possible to bully an NFL player? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about bullying and locker room culture in the NFL with former Green Bay Packer Leroy Butler. Leroy Butler was bullied as a child. He is involved in anti-bullying campaigns, and he's been in an NFL locker room or two. So we thought we would talk to him about the issue of bullying in the NFL, especially with this story in the news recently, former Miami Dolphin Jonathan Martin accusing his teammate Richie Incognito of bullying. Talking about how big a deal is bullying in the NFL and how could this happen and what does this mean, and welcoming your questions and your reactions too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Leroy, you mentioned that if something like this were to happen when you were in the Green Bay Packers locker room, that people would go to the team leader, Reggie White, and say, hey, this is happening, and Reggie would say, knock it off, and that would be the end of it?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. It was a tight end or a receiver, but Wayne Simmons just tormented this guy. Every day he would meet him at his locker. He would, tell jokes about him and, take him out to eat with the other guys. And then they actually got into like a shouting match, an establishment. So that particular kid, because he was a rookie, he went over to Reggie and said, listen, I'm having a problem with, Wayne Simmons. He's kind of pushing me around. Okay, now here's how you handle it. And we didn't know a whole lot about it. I just came into the locker room one day and I heard a loud noise and people shout and yell, which I hear every day, by the way. But Reggie and Wayne, they were having an altercation. Mm-hmm. I mean, they even got into a big fight over it because they disagreed about how you handle it. And when I went in there, I think Brett was trying to break them up. And for some reason, the only reason why the fight broke up is because of Brett fell down. And when he fell, I said, wait, hold it. Now, wait, if Brett gets hurt, we're all going to lose our jobs and the game. So we got to stop this.
Wow.
So everybody stopped. They stopped and we started laughing. And you know what? They hugged each other. Wayne went over to apologize to the young man, hugged him. Matter of fact, Wayne bought the kid a car.
Wow.
Because the kid was carpooling every day and didn't have the money, to buy a car. Wayne bought him a car, took care of him, and they were best friends. But that's how a leader handled it. It never got to the coaches. No one knew about it. Matter of fact, when I was mentioning to some of my teammates, like Gilbert Brown, I said, you remember that one time that one kid had he thought he was being bullied a little bit? And this was back in the early 90s, and it was awesome. So I'm assuming that every team has a leader. But the problem, Joy, was Incognito was that guy that everybody would go to as the leader to try to fix problems. And it was just unbelievable the way it worked.
Well, good for you for breaking up that altercation with some laughter. And were you hazed as a rookie? Is that what hazing that went on out of control kind of a thing?
That's a brilliant question. It really is. What's the fine line between hazing and bullying? And I'll tell you the fine line. There is no line. Don't do neither.
It's the same thing.
Don't haze people. If you want to have fun, this is how you have fun. You go in a meeting, and the veterans say, "Listen, if you would like, and only if you know it, we'll sing your fight song," which I didn't know mine, by the way, at Florida State. you can sing it and have fun and kind of fit in, and then they would take you out. I would take the defensive backs out, and they'd have a cap on how much I could spend, which back then was like $500. And that was a lot of money back in 1990, but still, it's not $15,000 to $20,000 or $30,000. I mean, that didn't happen. I mean, Brian Noble wouldn't even let some of the older guys even think about hazing me. He said, wait a minute, we love each other. We got to make sure everybody's on the same accord. You got ages 21 to 31 in the locker room. We got to be on the same page. You can't have one guy scared of another guy. You can't have one guy taking one guy's money and paying. And there's also another report that some of the veterans on the team would have the younger guys have their side chicks or their girls that they would date other than their wives, and they'd go over there. And if the guys didn't do it, they'd just make it tough for them. And that's, to me, that's the mental health side of it. Made to do something that you don't want to do, that's going to make you look bad, not me.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff didn't go on because we had a leader in our locker that had zero tolerance for anything that was negative mental health-wise.
Well, good for Reggie, too. Ray in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Ray.
Hi, it's a pleasure to speak to Leroy Butler, and you definitely are one of my heroes.
You're a smart man, Ray.
Yeah, I'm a short guy. I'm 5'5". I'm 150 pounds. Mm-hmm. But growing up, my father, who was also a small man, taught me the first day somebody bullies you, you better have a fight with him after school, because he'll be back the next day to bully you, the next day and the next day. And part of the reason this bullying has reached such proportions is because we ain't teaching small people to stand up for themselves. This 300-pound linebacker wouldn't even frighten me. I'd have come to work with a baseball bat, and I'd have eaten with him. I'm sorry, but that guy took it so far, I'd have brought a baseball bat to work, and I'd say, listen, we're going to get it on right now. I might be 150, but with this bat, I think I'm equal to you. Let's get it on.
Well, what about not the bat, but maybe defending yourself?
Well, here's how it's hard to defend yourself sometimes. And yeah, we don't want to do violence. But what if somebody put out something on Facebook and you don't know who put it out there and it's something negative, cyberbullying, you don't know who to fight?
Yeah.
I mean, what if somebody puts up on Twitter to make a fake account and put out that, you know, if you're a young lady and you're 14 and they put out that you sleep around, but really you don't. It torments you. It tears you apart. So you got to figure out a way to toughen up, to say, listen, as long as you don't touch me, it doesn't bother me. My mom used to tell me about this power that God gave everybody, this power, the power to keep it. Don't give it to anybody and show weakness. When you show weakness and they take your power, I mean, you're empty inside. So she would preach that to me because I had these braces on my legs and sort of like Ray out the target. But, you know, she never told me to handle it with violence. But I'm going to tell you, I'll be very honest with you. I can understand Ray's point. You get tired of it. I mean, you get tired of it and you get pushed to that limit. And I'm telling you, I don't know how close Martin was to doing that. But that's what we wouldn't want to see in the locker room. If him coming in there, you know, with a gun or a bat or something, or a knife, and handle this business. We don't want that as kids or adults, but you get pushed to that level. And we just hopefully that you handle it. That's why my new program was Butler versus Bullying, Make Friends, Not Enemies. And I know it's a cliche and all that, but if you think about it, if we learn to get along, I think everything will go smoothly. But the guy in your cubicle that's next to you may not even like the guy, but you got to do this project with him. So it's best to go over there, get to know him, and get the project so you both can make some money.
Well, Pat in Grafton is with us. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. Thank you for having the courage to speak out about this, because the NFL is just like any other workplace, and workplace harassment and bullying does exist. Some people do not evolve beyond their second grade social skills or their second grade selves, unfortunately. And, you know, it is a form of abuse and a form of harassment, you know, no matter how old someone is, how much money they make, or where they work. So, you know, it is something that, you know, makes a company or an organization very dysfunctional. you know, destroys morale and so on. And, yeah, it needs to be addressed and taken seriously, just like any form of physical violence or anything else. And, you know, unfortunately, I've been a victim of some workplace bullying and harassment, and my son has been a victim of school bullying. And that's you know, deeply affected our lives, and I'm glad that you're, you know, speaking out about this and being so open about it. You know, there are, you know, it's important to teach kids so that they don't become these adults who bully and harass and, you know, don't outgrow this behavior.
Thank you so much, Pat, and I'm sorry for what you've gone through and your son, too. We have just less than a minute before a news break, Leroy. The NFL is like any other workplace.
Absolutely. I think that's the more, I think it's, it, work, it may be worse because we're taught to be mean and tough guys. But ultimately, I think a majority of locker rooms, we love each other. We know each other's families, and we have fun with each other. But this has to stop. And it's just people love that power. They really do.
We'll talk about how we can stop bullying after we check the news. We are talking with Leroy Butler. He is a former Green Bay Packer. His latest book is Packers Pride, Green Bay Greats Share Their Favorite Memories. But we are talking with him about bullying in the NFL and elsewhere. This is the Ideas Network. The National Football League has been under scrutiny over allegations of bullying. Former Miami Dolphin Jonathan Martin accused his teammate Richie Incognito of threats of violence and racial slurs, among other things. Incognito was suspended indefinitely for conduct detrimental to the team. The incident has put a spotlight on locker room culture and bullying in the NFL, and we're talking about bullying in the NFL and maybe even on the schoolyard. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Friday, November 15th. We are talking with a former Green Bay Packer, Leroy Butler, who is involved in anti-bullying campaigns because he knows from childhood experience the pain of bullying. And we thought that he would have a pretty good idea about the degree to which this happens in the NFL. And we are welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, Leroy, we had a caller who couldn't stay through the news who wanted to know what your anti-bullying campaign is all about.
Well, essentially, basically, teaches, matter of fact, I'm getting ready to go to a school now, MPS school in Milwaukee. Mm. It teaches the kids to basically become friends before enemies. And I think the most important thing is I basically get random students out when I'm doing an assembly and have them come down. And I basically get them in to the side, and they have to sit face-to-face for like 5 minutes. And they have to learn five things about each other. If they can do that, they both win prizes. They win money, they win iPhones, laptops, because I want it to be an incentive to be friends. But, you know, some kids, they say, wait a minute, I didn't know that your favorite color was blue, so was mine. I didn't know you liked to hunt, so do I. I didn't know your mom's middle name was Diane, so was mine. And then next thing you know, we do that like four or five times, and I tell my story, then the attention is not on bullying anymore, it's on friendship. And how much we can get accomplished. And it's a lot of fun. You can go to LeroyButlerINC.com and you can request for me to come to your school. And that's why we get sponsors for things like that. And another thing real quick is because my foundation, I used to do a lot of the breast cancer stuff, but we're not doing a lot of that anymore. Matter of fact, this did last year because I want to go more into the anti-bullying thing as a whole. And so I'm very much looking forward to helping out with the mental health study of a lot of things that are going on in schools.
Well, wonderful. So this is how we stamp out bullying, by having these types of campaigns, or what else do we need to do, do you think?
Yeah, I think you need to go to your parents and open up and tell them, you know, it's good or bad. Because I think the one thing I dealt with some of the kids who were the bullies, they for one, their parents did not know. And for two, they want to be popular. And they want to be that one guy. When you get there on the bus, you know, there's that one guy, and everybody's scared of him. They like that. So I gave them another way to get power and be famous. We would actually bring them down, and we do a reality show. I give them a script to learn. You know, it was one young man. He used to pick on his other young man because he was autistic. But the autistic kid had a 3.9, and he had a 1.4. So I'm like, you need to help him. So I made him. I said, listen, you got to understand something. The kid you're picking on is the one you got to help with your script. He's going to teach you to read it. And not only did he teach him to read it, but he gave him some acting lessons right there on the spot. And it was kind of a tearjerker, but I said, this is brilliant because I'm teaching the kids that, you know, I need something from the smart kid. You know, just because he has autism, I don't have to, you know, do something negative. I can go over to him and get some help.
What was, do you think Martin was bullied in part because didn't he earn a degree from Harvard and some thought that that was he was a smarty pants or something?
And see, that's so ridiculous. But here's the thing to Richard Incognito. When he was a kid, he was bullied and tormented because he was a fat kid that sat in the back of the class. He was the guy that couldn't fit on the little kid rides. And as growing up, he wanted to get back at society for what had happened to him. And that's a mental health study as well. How many kids go through that continue it as an adult? But I got four daughters and a two-year-old son. If anybody bullies you because you're smart, because you go get a degree or do something great, I mean, look at it as an honor because you have something that they want. But again, it's about, you know, being pushed around mentally, physically. And cyberbullying, too, is just out of control. It really is out of control.
We have a caller, John in Wausau, who has, a related question here. Hi, John.
Hi. Hey, Leroy. How's it going?
What's going on, John?
What I hear and what I don't hear, why do people bully? You know, they obviously have something in their life or they're lacking something inner. You know, we don't teach our children. We don't. That's where you need to go with it. I mean, what are you going to punish a kid for bullying? That's not going to fix anything. We don't teach our kids through religion, through anything, how to feel whole. You know, why would a kid pick out a no more vulnerable kid? I mean, there's something lacking in the way we teach our children how to feel about themselves. You know, maybe it's, you know, I don't know, maybe it's something with, we just, too much work. Parents don't take the time. They don't know how. They've never been taught themselves.
Do you think the parents play a role in this, Leroy?
Absolutely, parents play a role in it. Because my mom taught me how to deal with it as a kid. Because for some reason, she knew it was going to happen because I was disabled. And I was a target. But again, John, it's the reason why people do it. Is the power. I mean, you feel you can stick your chest out and wake up and say, I know it's four kids at school right now getting dressed that are scared of me. I love that. So we got to teach him to say, you know what, I want to go to school and protect kids because no one should be going to school, church, or work and be scared of anybody. So it's just the power. We have to take that power and turn it into something good. And we're all going to have to do it. I mean, that way... That's why my mom used to talk to us at dinner, because every kid wants to eat, and every kid wants to be famous. Look at all the reality shows and stuff like this. So if you have to talk to them and find out which way they're going, if they're the bully or the one to be a bully, you have to talk to them about it, and you have to fix it as a parent. But I will tell you this, there's a high percent of parents have no idea, because, Joy, everybody has the perfect child. Trust me, until you figure out what they're doing.
Yeah. And when John was saying, why do people bully, sometimes the bully had been bullied.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a mental health study that says that I think it's like 44%, which is way too high, that most bullies were bullied as a kid and tormented horribly. but no one was able to talk to him to figure out, listen, you got to break that chain. Mm-hmm. And you got to become a leader, not a follower. And that's a huge message. Become a leader, not a follower. But I'm telling you, putting these kids on the spot where they have to learn about other kids, it's been working. It's really been working. We check in with the principals and the social science teachers and the social workers, and they say, listen, the kids are becoming friends on the playground. They're starting to shake hands. And they started to just move past that and get back to education.
Some listeners might be surprised. You said you were disabled as a child. How were you disabled?
Well, I had club feet, and I had braces on my legs, sort of like Forrest Gump. And, you know, so I couldn't run like the other kids. I couldn't jump like the other kids. And I was, you know, small, and they just felt like it was a target. But, again, my mom taught me to put those blinders up and ignore them and just go to school and learn.
Boy, so you go from someone with club feet and braces to being the guy who created the Lambo leap.
It was because my mom was my role model. That's why. That's the only way it worked. She was my role model, and she sat down and talked to me every day. And she was a single parent in the inner city. But she taught me every day, as my other sisters and brothers, be leaders when you leave this house. Don't be followers. But if you're going to follow, choose the right leader. And, I mean, that was amazing how she took time to just teach me that stuff. And I wouldn't forget it. It's really helped me today.
Robin tells me, my producer Robin Cherry tells me, that you are writing a book about bullying.
Yes. And, you know, thanks. And it should be out like February or March. But we had to put some mental health study stuff in there because Dr. J, she has a cool name, at Carroll University. I'm meeting with her. Mm-hmm. This afternoon, we wanted to put some mental health study statistics in there, but we also wanted to make it fun. And I'm also working with Gilbert Brown and a couple other Packers, and we're going to go on a big campaign to go to some of the schools, churches, and places to talk about it and to get the message out. And one of the things we try to do is when we leave the particular area to make sure it continues, the program continues. And it's a lot of work, but a lot of people don't really want to deal with it because it doesn't affect them. When it affects them and their kid comes home crying, then they get involved. We're trying to get parents available to do it now before it happens.
We are talking with Leroy Butler, former Green Bay Packer, involved in anti-bullying campaigns, talking with him about bullying and talking with him about bullying in the NFL as well. Our discussion prompted by the allegations of bullying. Put forth by former Miami Dolphin Jonathan Martin, accusing his teammate Richie Incognito of bullying. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your reactions to the story about bullying in the NFL. How do we stop bullying in the NFL, and how do we stop bullying in society? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, November 15th. We are happy to be talking with former Green Bay Packer Leroy Butler about bullying in the NFL, the locker room culture in the NFL, and his anti-bullying campaign. Butler is the author of a number of books. He's working on a book on bullying, but his current book out is Packers Pride, Green Bay Greats Share Their Favorite Memories. And we welcome your questions for Leroy. We welcome your reactions to the story of bullying in the NFL. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, Leroy, what do you think has to happen to stop bullying in the NFL?
Well, I think a lot of the locker rooms aren't as bad as people think. But I will say this, the leaders on the team, on all teams, they have to come together and figure out that we got to be on the same accord. That's the only way we can win. It's just like any company. You got to get everybody to understand when you come in the building, we have one goal, and that's it. Everybody has to work toward that goal, and that's winning a championship. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of problems. And it's just we want people to be able to network and talk. I think the more you talk and network, I think the more you'll find out you have a lot in common, and a lot of this wouldn't go on.
Yeah, you think it went to the extreme in the Miami Dolphins locker room? It's not that typical across the NFL?
That's exactly. I mean, because it didn't happen, you know, in a lot of locker rooms where, you know, if you look at the teams who are winning, you don't see a lot of that stuff. You know, the teams who are losing. Because remember, Miami was 3-0, and they lost four straight. And mm-hmm. people were like, what's going on with that team? And there was some lingering things going on from training camp. You know, everybody wasn't focused. When you get everybody focused, you can win games. And it's just, I'll be very honest with you, it's a lot of players, you know, hoping I don't even talk about it. No, don't even talk about that stuff, man. Don't tell people about the locker room. You know, don't even talk about that story. I'm like, listen, if you don't talk about some of this stuff and keep it hidden, you're part of the problem.
Yeah. We have Angela on Facebook who writes, I am not a big sports fan and really wasn't up on this story at all, but I heard the first half of this interview on my way into work, and I really appreciate it. I especially liked it when Leroy said made the point that there is no line between hazing and bullying, and neither should be done. I agree. So the hazing, does hazing happen, Leroy, in the NFL?
Well, I'm sure it does, mm-hmm. because hazing is how we welcome you into our family. It was a young man from Florida A&M. They had a marching band. They called it Marching 100. A kid died from hazing. So that's why I said there's no line. I mean, some teams have put out a no hazing policy. Listen, don't even do that stuff. Work on becoming a better player, not torment another kid. I mean, so, and that's the thing. You know, we shouldn't even have it. Hazing, it's just like bullying. Keep it out of the locker room. And there's going to be some people listening to this and say, oh, they're going to be soft. Listen, I'd rather be soft, alive, and have my dignity and respect and be a tough guy than either be in jail, dead, or you may get hurt. Because sooner or later, somebody, like as Ray pointed out, somebody's going to retaliate. It really is. It's going to happen if you keep pushing people. But, you know, we don't want that to happen. That's why the commissioner has put the special investigator to not only talk to the Dolphins, he's going to talk to all the teams and find out what's going on. Because they don't need this negative stuff, especially after that big concussion case. They don't need this kind of stuff going on. So they're going to trust me, they're going to get to the bottom of it.
What is your reaction to that reminded me, the concussion case, to Brett Favre recently saying that he was having memory problems, and other NFL greats now being diagnosed with post-concussion disorders.
Well, remember, Joy, us guys, we're not smart to begin with. Just throw that in there. Women are smarter than us, and we get that. But, and that's jokingly, I think he had 3 to 4 concussions. Tony Dorsett has the CTE. It's going to happen to most of the guys when you get in your mid-40s. That's why I was shocked when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. People say, bring back Brett. You really want to bring back a guy that can't remember the plays?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have fun about it all the time, but think about how much he's gone through at 44 years old. So, you know, I feel bad for him. I really do, because I have the same symptoms sometimes, you know. Can't sleep at night, you know, for some reason you have terrible headaches and things of that nature. And that's why you got to get to where you talk about it and you get treatment for it. And that's what that case was about. Guys don't get money from it. They get to where me or Brett or some of these guys have to go to a neurologist and tough sit down and talk to them about what we're having in our brain that they can help us.
Well, we're running short on time and we have some other callers. Valerie in Rudolph is with us. Hi, Valerie.
Hi.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi there. I'm really glad that you're talking about this. It's kind of funny because I've wanted to reach out to the Packers for a long time to tell them about a project called the Virtues Project, which really inspires us to live and be our best. And I've seen the Packers as leaders in setting the standard for how things should be. And I really feel the problem is we lack clear boundaries of what's acceptable or not acceptable. There's great power in the words we speak. Those words can either harm or help and grow, and you guys need to just have zero tolerance for that. That doesn't mean that you throw people out, but it means that you take a look at it and you change it, because it's not acceptable. You are the leaders. Our children look to you. Families look to you. And you really need, I'm so glad that being out of the game that you're taking this on, Leroy, and I really really hope that
yeah,
that there's some changes made, because we can't minimize this. We cannot minimize this at all.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Valerie. So kids look up to pro football players, Leroy, and you guys need to be the leaders when it comes to, I guess, anti-bullying.
Yeah, I think for the most part, we understand that. We make mistakes just like everybody else, and we like to do things properly. But for the most part, we know kids wear our jerseys, and some kids look up to us more than they do their parents. And we just try to, if we went through it, like something like this, it's best for us to speak about it.
Yeah. I try to get one last call in if it's quick. Carol in Crandon, you had a story to tell?
Yeah, first of all, Leroy, you are an inspiration and a great role model. I just wanted to say how being a leader does make a great difference. My son, who has a genetic disorder, he has no hair, and he's riding the bus at age 5 and was constantly picked on because of that. And a fourth grader who's not attached to him at all in any ways stood up and for him, mm-hmm. and told this one particular individual who would not stop picking on him just to leave him alone, and other words. Well, anyways, it never happened ever again. And that fourth grader, I seeked him out, and I found out where he lived, and I personally thanked him. He made a difference in my son's life just mm-hmm. by being that leader.
Well, yeah, step in. If you witness bullying, speak up, Leroy.
Absolutely. People are going to call you a snitch, but you may save a life. And that's what we tell about the kids. Don't make a circle and yell, fight, fight, fight. Just don't even make a circle. Just leave and take the other kid with you. Yeah, just 5 or 6 of you guys, go out there, take him and say, let's leave. We're not going to stand here and let you fight a guy that's bigger than you. Let's just leave. Let's just ignore the guy that don't want to fit in. Let's just ignore him. And then you turn back and say, okay, you can come too, but you got to stay positive. And I'm telling you, it works. It works. When kids become leaders in these schools, churches, and playgrounds, that's the way it works.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Former Green Bay Packer, Leroy Butler. And we'll put his website up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you want to contact him about anti-bullying programs that he puts on. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.